City Current. Produced by Dakota Media Access. In-depth discussion with Bismarck and Mandan city officials. Watch on Government Access Channel 602 HD or tune in to Radio Access 102.5 FM. Always local, always current.
Welcome. It's Wednesday, April 17th, and we're here in the studios at Dakota Media Access. I'm Mary Van Sickle, and I'm here with Jim Neubauer from the City of Mandan.
Good morning, Mary. It's been about a month since we've done this.
It's been a month, yeah. So you're listening and tuned in to City Current, again, a Mandan City Current. And yes, it's been a month since we've met, and there's been a lot going on in the City of Mandan.
A lot to cover. We've gone through ice jams and some potential flooding going on in town with the Lower Heart, and then the tragedy out at RJR, so it's been a busy
month. I'm sure in the city of Mandan, but you've come through it again with the flooding. There was a threat of flooding, but no damage done.
Right, for a lot of folks that were driving out next to the Heart River, they probably saw the Heart River highest they've seen for a long time. Our public works crew were on the job and on the board, preventing water from the river from making its way back into the city through our flap gates and valve gates and all kinds of things. So I had a couple incidences where those gates didn't close properly, and we were able to correct those right away. So again, thanks to our public works and folks for being on the job.
Diligently. Well, and again, four tragic deaths in the city of Mandan is certainly not something you ever want to repeat again, but we've moved on from then. The individual is under arrest.
We've got an individual under arrest, and I can't kudos out to our Mandan Police Department, from City of Bismarck Police Department, Morton County, BCI,
ATF,
FBI, and everyone who could offer assistance in this, had offered assistance and provided all the resources that we could possibly ask for. So again, a huge thank you to all those folks.
Yeah.
Very unfortunate incident, but again, it shows how this community, whether it's Bismarck, Mandan, Burley, Morton, and the whole state of North Dakota, and even outside the state, offered help in getting this solved. And so we will simply await for the courts to take it from here.
Right.
And
exactly.
Yes.
But the families still deal with this loss, certainly, and us as a community do as well. I think the first responders probably need to be commended as well, as you mentioned, because they have to deal with this. And I'm sure this is not a typical
situation.
This
was obviously not typical by any stretch of the imagination.
Right.
But again, kudos to our folks.
Yeah.
We've offered help to those that have asked for it and have needed it. And again, thanks to that community for being there for our folks, and also for the family, friends, and loved ones of the RGR group. And we know they've gone through a tough time.
Absolutely.
And our wishes for them.
Yeah. Well, the Mandan Commission met last night.
Yes.
It was a fairly long meeting because you also included the Board of Equalization, the annual meeting for them as well. So that did extend the time a little bit, but it started on a kind of a fun note.
Yes.
There was the essay winner from third grade, a third grade student,
right.
If I Were a Mayor. And then she read her essay, which I thought was really fun.
Yep.
And then she sat in on the meeting next to the mayor for most of the meeting.
Yeah, we really like to do this. And Julia Graff did an awesome job.
Yeah.
We have a little kind of a pizza party for her and her family
and
some city staff before the meeting starts to kind of get acquainted and get her comfortable and take a lot of pictures. And like I said, she did a great job on her essay. And it was very interesting that one of her suggestions was that we do a community cleanup day, which we will talk about later, is coming up on April 27th.
Yeah.
And so very good timing. And like I said, we applaud all of those kids who wrote essays and congratulate Julia and her family.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
She did a really good job.
We'll start out on a positive there.
Yep.
Public hearing last night for Runnings.
Yes.
So we've talked about Runnings a lot, taking over the West Main area over there, and they're already in their remodeling. But what came forward last night was a special use permit, which passed through the commission pretty easily, and that allowed vehicle and farm supply sales.
Right, because normally you won't have a larger retailer like that taking up a lot of floor space. both inside and outside in downtown district.
Yeah.
That's why they do need a conditional use permit or special use permit, as it's sometimes called.
Mm-hmm.
Along with that was some green space requirements. So there will be some greenery
landscaping on
hardscape trees along Main Street side and also along the east side of the property. And so that's one of those compromises that we had talked about between the last planning and zoning meeting and the commission meeting last night, was coming to some agreement on what they need to do.
Mm-hmm. That'll be nice. It'll be a nice little soft buffer on the on that asphalt parking lot. So, and Runnings came up later in the on the agenda last night under new business. So we'll jump to that item real quick here and just talk about that. It was a growth fund recommendation for storefront improvement projects. Is a it's a if you will, more of a matching fund, which
they do matching,
more than matched with their investment on the front end here.
And if folks are familiar, again, with the building, and we've got a picture up now of what it looks like today, the big awning in front and other signage items that need to be done, they applied for the storefront improvement grant. The growth fund committee or goes through Architecture Review Commission, goes through the growth fund committee, and then up to the city commission for final approval. And the board looked at that and tabled the issue last night because apparently there were some talk of the parking lot not being improved, and we wanted to make sure that that was, you know, that was one of their proposals when they first acquired the big properties, was that they were going to you know, fix the parking lot up and do a little more than a pothole fill here. And so they'll table that, and also looked at, you know, what kind of parking they would have on the north side of the building
for employees.
So one of those things that, you know, the commission looks at and says, you know what, if you're applying for these funds, awesome and great. We want to see that property improved. But along with that, here's a couple of strings if that we want attached.
So this will come back in 2 weeks to the commission again, more than likely in 2 weeks.
Correct.
And in the meantime, there'll be some clarification on parking lot resurfacing potentially.
We've already had that communication this morning. And yes, they do plan on making parking lot improvements. And they're providing some additional insight as to the north side parking and employee entrances and all those good things.
And again, this looks like a mid-July opening that they're kind of shooting for.
They're shooting for July 15th, which there are, as you said, there are contractors in there working right now on both buildings, the old Thrifty White and the old Bill Super Value or Central Market. You know, it's been several different grocery store chains, Miracle Mart.
We're just going to call it Runnings.
We'll call it Runnings now, and the proposed opening is July 15th.
Okay. We'll look forward to that.
We very much are.
All right. Bids came forward on the Southside Improvement District. This is a huge project. We've talked about it many times as it's worked its way through. But last night, there were actually bids proposed.
Yep. We this has been a project that's been going on for quite a while right now. We received bids on April 10th. What we had told the residents in December and January, I think, was that we'll present those to the board. The board can review those bids and see which options they want to select. It was a complicated bid process. We had two bidders that were very close in overall cost. It depends on what options the commission wanted to select, from what type of storm sewer, what size pipes, to do you want to do the alleys or not alleys, or what they call CSB or cement stabilizer base to use in your base material. So all those things play a huge role in, in who will get the contract for this.
Lots of alternatives suggested.
A lot of alternatives, but you know, we're reasonably pleased that, number one, the estimate I think we had for the construction of this was about $6.25 million, and bids were right about that $6 million mark. So the bids were close.
Yeah.
Commissions you know, agreed to buy down the project by $1.5 million.
So the action, there was really no action taken last night. I think they called for a special meeting to happen very soon.
We will, you know, the next step is that our engineering department will send out letters again, which will reflect the actual bids that we have, the options that the commission selected last night. And the $1.5 million buy down of this project, and here's your new amount. We'll get those out, hopefully, you know, today or tomorrow, and residents will get those in this affected area hopefully on the weekend or Monday. We're looking at Tuesday evening at 5:30, April 23rd, I believe, of having a special meeting where it'll kind of be a public input meeting. You know, after residents have the letters, here's what the new estimate is, and then we would like the commission to award based on what alternatives they have selected, so that we can get the contractor notified, get the award, get all the paperwork done. Okay. Otherwise, we're waiting till probably May 7th to award. So we're trying to pick up a couple weeks.
Right, you want to get this going.
Where we can move this project along.
Tuesday night, as you know, is typically either your commission meeting or, yep, or Bismarck. So we'll be live with the Bismarck City Commission, but we do plan to
do
record that.
Tape delay.
Yeah, I think so. It's an important meeting. I mean, this is a huge project.
Big project, and especially for this area where there has not been, in essence, a street construction project for many years.
Well, so, and if you're driving over there, a lot of the streets almost look like gravel in that area.
That's a result of, you know, the city did replace water lines in that area about 2 years ago. So residents have been extremely patient with us as we move forward. Come back in now with a project to do the above ground work. So a lot of work to be done.
All right. Sounds good. New business. Bisman Transit Development Plan was presented last night by the Metropolitan Planning Organization.
All right. Steve Saunders and Bill Trow. Bill Trow was on the phone with us last night. So he walked everyone through the transit development plan. And, you know, we could probably spend hours talking about that. But I think at the end of the day, it results in the, it looks like they're going to be facing a shortfall of money within the next year out of their reserve accounts. And what options are there to serve the citizens of Bismarck, Mandan, and Lincoln and Burley-Morton County? So
has been going on for a while now with transit that they were aware of this a couple of years ago. So they've been proposing lots of changes. Some changes have taken place. But this plan now is outlining more recommendations for changes. And you can find that plan at transitplanbisman.com. If you want to walk through that, it is really interesting. And it also shows some comparisons of the cost of our transit in this area as opposed to different communities in the region.
Right. We've met with the folks a couple times, and it is interesting. And, you know, they are analyzing this from top to bottom on, you know, if we change one route, how does that affect it? It's very interwoven. So it's not, well, let's just do away with this route because we'll save $100,000 on fuel and wear and tear on our buses. It's not that simple. All of the routes that have been selected that are running right now, it's been a well thought out process. And it's just a matter of, you know, federal money is on the decline and things like that. And how do we want to best serve the communities with the transit?
So, again, if people are interested in that, because changes are probably going to be coming, although last night the commission basically accepted the report. They didn't necessarily agree to specific changes. They just received the report.
Correct. That's what it was, just accepting the report as it is. And now it'll go back, I think, to all of the other entities, you know, City of Bismarck, Morton, Burley County, Lincoln, to have the same presentation. And then the... Actually, there's a board of directors, I believe, that will have some tough decisions to make on what their next steps are.
Okay. And then they'll likely come back to the cities for approval before those changes are made, I'm assuming. Also, under new business last night, this is on kind of an unusual topic. I don't think I've seen this in quite some time. A recommendation from Custer Health, which is public health in Mandan and Morton County, has made a recommendation for... condemning a property and recommending demolition of this particular property. Again, not something we see very up at the commission level
not very often. And this is a long process, but we do have a house that has been, we have been working with Custer Health, our police department, our building inspectors, and our code enforcement officer to, you know, the pictures are...
dramatic.
They're dramatic, and like you said... the living conditions in this are not acceptable, and the house is not repairable.
And it's not structurally sound. I think first and foremost, that's the issue, is that it's unsafe to even enter the building and be inside the building because of that. You see a picture here for our viewers of a, you know, a beam held up by a jack that's holding up the structure of the house.
And that's common in the basement of this house. There are several jacks.
There's more of them.
And that are holding up the structure. And again, our folks do not really, we don't want to go in there.
No.
And no one else should be going in there either.
Absolutely.
And so last night the commission kind of approved that report, and the call for a public hearing on its demolition.
Raw wiring hanging from ceilings in plastic bags
is,
and water.
There's a lot of ingenuity that has gone into keeping water and the elements out of this house. Hmm. I don't know that any of them have been successful.
Doors and windows aren't wind and rain coming right through the structure. So, yeah, very scary place. And it initially, as I understood, this started with the men in police department were in the building or in the home and observed the conditions.
Right.
And they notified Custer Health, who came in and confirmed the situation. And as you said, it's a long
process.
And this is not something the city does lightly.
Right. And it's a joint effort. Mm-hmm. So it's several different departments working together for the best outcome that we can. Mm-hmm. And in this case, this house is not rehabbable. It's not in your wildest dreams. I don't think could you come in and flip it or turn it into something different than it already is right now. So it's time to take the house down and provide that order to the property owner to have it taken down. And if they choose not to, then we end up hiring a contractor to take the house down and assessing those costs back against the property.
I get it. Okay. So where does it stand right now?
Right now, there's, the commission approved the report that Sean Rodnick, our billing inspector, prepared. And now we'll do the public notice to say there will be a commission approved calling for a public hearing for its demolition.
Oh,
so that's the next step, and then we'll move on.
Will it come back to the commission?
It will come back to the commission.
Okay.
I'm not sure what date, but because there's an advertising element in there, that we have to give proper public notice, and then the house needs to come down.
Mm-hmm. Also, under new business last night, jumping back to the Memorial Highway again, this was a utility engineering service agreement with HDR. This
Correct.
Is a first step and many steps that will happen over
there. One of those next steps, as you say, in the Memorial Highway reconstruct. And when you talk about improving the above ground driving surface, you always look at what you have under the ground, where that's storm sewer. And in Memorial Highway, there is no storm sewer. But we're looking at sanitary sewer and water service. And depending on what the final design and the elevation of Memorial Highway will be, will kind of affect how our underground utilities operate. So HDR has the contract for looking at the above ground stuff, and then they subcontract work out to another consulting firm to look at the utility.
So this is design work that's starting now, but ultimately this project is pushed out into the future?
Right. We're looking at a couple of years before we actually... shovels go in the ground, all depending on design, the ability to have federal funds to it. We're looking at wanting to do this in a 1 or 2 year project, not
this
a 10-year project. So major undertaking and considerable disruption to businesses, which will be minimized as much as possible. But again, it's the next step in reviewing this.
Yeah, and I think that's a good message to talk about the businesses along Memorial Highway. They are being informed along the way. They're getting letters and documents that are attempting to explain what's happening.
Flyers went out so that folks know, hey, I see surveyors out on Memorial Highway. What are they doing? Because every time a surveyor parks their truck and they walk out in their safety vest, we get a call. What's going on? So we've done flyers. And I think in about the middle of May, there will be a public meeting. To go through where we're at. I think it's scheduled tentatively for May 14th, but we'll talk about that later.
Yeah, we will. But I think that it's important. There's always a few people that may slip through the cracks that aren't either not paying attention or somehow are not getting the information.
Correct.
So if people have questions, I would assume they can also call the city.
Right.
Talk to the people there. Talk to you.
Give us
to Justin.
A call. And, like I said, we are in the engineering phase of this project and documenting and determining what do our underground utilities have to look like if this happens on the above ground.
Yeah.
So,
it'll
big
come
project.
Back to us. Yeah. And it'll be a couple of years before implementation if possible. So we'll be talking about it again and again. Legislative update. There's something that we won't be talking about too much longer. It's almost over.
I'm not sure what day we're on, but I know I've heard that the legislators want to save at least five days in case they have to come back, which means if I'm counting right, we have 6 or 7 days left that they could be in session.
Okay.
A lot of bills are in conference committee, so if the House is one direction and the Senate is in the other direction. They try and get together and see what they can compromise on and come up with a bill that works for everyone, or mm-hmm. whether a bill should be killed.
Yeah. So, anything in particular that you're looking at for the city of
Mandan? One of the big bills that we've been monitoring and been keeping track of is Senate Bill 2020, which is the State Water Commission's mm-hmm. budget bill, mm-hmm. which obviously we've talked before about our water intake. We do have an application for funding in front of the Water Commission. We look to be there in June. We also have issues with the Lower Hart Levee project, and I think as far as we know, today there is some money in that budget okay. for Lower Hart also.
All right.
And those are pretty big, significant projects
so
for us.
You got your eyes on that one.
Right.
Resolutions and ordinances last night. There was a first consideration to allow your building inspections department to be kind of your first point of contact for signage.
Yes.
This is kind of a step forward in simplifying the whole process.
We've been, this is, like I said, I think this was customer friendly or consumer friendly, however mm-hmm. you want to term that. But if there are sign requests to be come into our department, and you can check down the box and I meet this, I meet that, I'm doing this, and it meets everything, there's really no sense in it going to a review committee. Therefore, our folks in our building inspection department could, approve that on the spot or right away okay. after they've had a chance to review. So it's not a 2-week process or it's not a 3-week process. And like I said, I think this will streamline those applications.
That are fairly standard.
Yes.
Yeah.
Anything out of the ordinary,
yeah, it's because I'm
going to have to go through the review commission. But if it's standard run of the mill stuff, yeah, let's get people in and out and move them on their way.
All right. Second and final consideration mm-hmm. last night for the crematorium ordinance.
Correct.
And that went through on a split vote, 3-2, to move it forward with the language that had been recommended at the last commission meeting.
A lot of discussion on this, mm-hmm. and what we are trying to do is separate. Don't think about the what you've heard as maybe an applicant that is going to be allowed to do this or that. We're trying to set the policy mm-hmm. up, and the board had given us instructions at a few meetings ago to draft language that would kind of limit any crematoriums to be built on our Mandan Union cemetery property and nowhere else. And that's the language that was drafted. The commission approved that language last night on, like you said, a split vote. Mm-hmm. And so that's where we are today. And I know that our planner, John Van Dyke, had done some drawings on, trying to demonstrate pictorially, here's our ordinance today and what was suggested to our Planning and Zoning Commission, and then what was suggested by the City Commission, and to do some of those things, because if we didn't make any change to the ordinance today, the crematorium could go, pretty darn close to a residential area, and we didn't think that was the best way mm-hmm. to do that. And we had proposed some other setbacks and things like that. But at the end of the day, the commission decided that crematorium should be allowed in our cemetery, and the city would have to lease land out to a private
operator.
City's not going to get, right. I don't think, in the crematorium business. Mm-hmm. And I know we had also done some look and say, okay, if we need space for a building, space for parking and all that good stuff, that might be taking up a couple acres. And in turn, how much life in our cemetery do we lose? So we estimate we've got 50 to 65 years left of life. I don't know if that's the right term when you're talking about cemetery, but that's how much room we have left.
Sure.
And by taking it, 1 acre is about 5 years, shorten your lifespan of your cemetery. So
for now, that's where the ordinance is sitting. So that's what we go by. So last night there was the Board of Equalization meeting as well. And that was scheduled for 7, I believe. And the meeting was going long. And the mayor asked if we could, if the time could be extended, which everyone was agreeable to. Yep. But explain a little bit about this Board of Equalization process.
So when we do the Board of Equalization, the City Commission usually is your Board of Equalization. Mm-hmm. So we recess out of the regular commission meeting. We reconvene as the Board of Equalization. And in turn, Kimberly Markley, our city assessor, goes through her report, which we analyze different sales during the year and what property values, if we're in line or out of balance and things like that. There have been years we have sent out upwards of 4,000 letters that have indicated your property value went up by, 10% or $3,000. This year, I think we sent out less than 500 letters, I think 489 or something like that. And the majority of those were exemptions coming off or new construction, residential values. They've analyzed, I think, a couple hundred different sales and found that our residential values are pretty much in line of where they should be. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean that your residential value didn't adjust a little bit one way or the other way, but for the most part, residential property values that we had the year before are pretty much in line this year. Commercial values, we looked at, I think, 38 different sales and found that our commercial values were about 3% low. So commercial values went up by about 3%. Okay. So once the board sets those values, here's the total true and full valuation of your community. Then we work and figure out, we've got budgets that are starting, meetings are starting to happen for next year.
Tax statements that'll be going out. So this last night was also a public meeting, and it allowed people to have an opportunity to come in and question.
They can come in and say, hey, my value went from $250,000 to $270,000. What happened? We ask folks to, call us. Give us a call. Yeah. We'll come out. We'll review your property. We'll remeasure your property. Whatever. We want to verify that our data is correct.
And I think your assessor said they'd had contact from a few property owners, and they've already had, scheduled meetings with some of these people to look at that. There were no protests last night. There was no public input that I recall. But that doesn't mean that's the final point of contact.
Yep.
Now it moves on to the county, and I believe in June.
This is the start of the process. So the City Board of Equalization meets in April, and then it goes to the county. So the board confirmed or accepted
the report
from from Ms. Markley. It now goes to the county. The county has their equalization meetings the first part of June. The county then acts on those and then sends them up to the state. And the state has their Board of Equalization meetings in August.
And the letters only go out when the values have increased by a certain amount. So most people are not getting necessarily notification via mail, but if they have questions, call the city assessor in Mandan, and you can get an answer to where you'll be looking at for property taxes.
Absolutely,
at least from the city's perspective and the values that are there. So that's an annual process.
We every year
see it come back. So we touched on this earlier. I just wanted a couple of final items. Last night was April 25th. There's a public information meeting happening downtown.
Right. April 25th at the Harvest, we will have a input meeting on our conversion on part of Main Street from 4 lanes to 3 lanes. And again, that project will occur in 2020, not this year, but it will occur next year. But we're starting the process now, and we want to hear what the public has to say out of regarding that.
So some design proposals will be shown and people can comment on what they want to see.
Right.
The mayor also said the library is paving their lot. So we want to mention that.
Well, they're not paving it. Doosan Bobcat comes in and they do select some beautification projects.
Okay.
And this year they'll be working at the library and pulling a lot of the old plant material and things like that. So they'll bring in a lot of their volunteers and their equipment, and it's a great help to us. Sprucing up the lot.
There you go.
Very much needed.
And what date do you recall the date on that?
They will be doing that April 26th. April 25th.
Okay.
So parking will be limited. You can park on the west side. We just don't want customers of the Rice Bowl and customers of the library. We want to keep them kind of out of that area so that they don't run into a bobcat. We are open, yes.
All right. Sounds good. And then cleanup week. And we have Cleanup Week and Cleanup Day, April 27th to May 4th is Cleanup Week, and April 27th will be Cleanup Day.
Right. The 27th through the 4th is, you know, on your normal garbage day. If you have items that two people can lift, put them out on your boulevard during your normal cleanup or your normal garbage pickup day, and our crews will be through, pick things up, and they, if you have an appliance, they will come back and get the appliance later because we have a separate disposal area for appliances.
Sure.
So, you know, be patient. And there's a lot of work these guys will be hopping that whole week. April 27th is Community Cleanup Day. So 9 o'clock on Saturday morning, Dykeshorn Park. Show up with, you know, a pair of gloves and boots and long pants and long shirts. And we will, I think we have 6 or 7 different areas of town that we will have maps
out.
And
okay.
we send folks out. And then when you come back, we feed you afterwards. And thank you to all the generous donations of sponsors and things like that. So
and that's
door
a
prizes,
Saturday, right?
That is a Saturday morning.
That's a big event. I know last year you had some pictures too. So we'll look forward to seeing those pictures. April 27th, 9 a.m. Dykeshorn Park.
Correct.
All right. Sounds good.
Yep.
Thanks, Jim.
Thanks for
having
us.
Thanks for being here. We'll see you in a couple weeks.
Thank you very much.
All right. And thank you for tuning in to this edition of City Current.
For more information on what was discussed in this episode of City Current, visit cityofmandan.com or call 701-667-3215. If you have any suggestions, comments, or issues you would like addressed in future City Current episodes, contact us at info@freetv.org. This program airs on Government Access Channel 2 and 602 in HD, or on Radio Access 102.5 FM. It's also available as a podcast on radioaccess.org and as a video viewing link at freetv.org. Thanks for tuning in to this edition of City Current.